Adolf Hitler, Man of Peace. This war thrusts us years back in our constructive work. It is deplorable. I have not indeed become the Chancellor of the Greater German Reich in order to conduct war. Quote by Adolf Hitler, 1940. Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain said to U.S. Ambassador Joseph Kennedy that the reason why he had made war against Germany was that America and the world Jews had pressured him. Kennedy later told this to Admiral James Forrestal, who recorded it in his diary. Neither the French nor the British would have made Poland a cause of war if it had not been for the constant needling from Washington, is how Forrestal summarized Kennedy's recollection. The Forrestal Diaries, entry of 27th of December, 1945. If Hitler was the monster the Jews lie and say he was, he might have won the war. Hitler showed mercy on the entire British army at Dunkirk and personally ordered his generals to stop the attack and allow the English to leave. Hitler spared his enemies where he could have killed them all. Previous and still, Hitler had worked around the clock to obtain peace with England. Many Gentiles in England, including members of the royal family and even the famed T.E. Lawrence of Arabia himself, was a pro-Nazi. Lawrence was murdered on his way to an important meeting to help bring about a peace treaty with Germany before the war. Rudolf Hess also made a fateful mission to Britain in 1941 to meet with the pro-peace members of the English nobility and government and bring peace between the two nations, where he was captured by the kosher Churchill secret police and spent the rest of his life in a solitary prison cell. Hess was a prominent figure in Nazi Germany, acting as Adolf Hitler's deputy in the Nazi Party. On the eve of war with the Soviet Union, he flew to Scotland in an attempt to negotiate peace, but was arrested. He was tried at Nuremberg and sentenced to life in prison, where he died in 1987. He was murdered. My coming to England in this way is, as I realize, so unusual that nobody will easily understand it. I was confronted by a very hard decision. I do not think I could have arrived at my final choice unless I had continually kept before my eyes the vision of an endless line of children's coffins with weeping mothers behind them, both English and German, and another line of coffins of mothers with mourning children. Rudolf Hess' statement of the 10th of June, 1941, as quoted in Rudolf Hess, Prisoner of Peace, 1982, by Ilse Hess, his wife. I was suspicious for several reasons. After all, Hess, who had been held in Spandau for almost 30 years, was by then 93 years old and fragile. I doubted he had the strength to kill himself with a cord which was not attached at both ends to anything. Quote was by Lieutenant Colonel Eugene K. Byrd on the death of Hess to a Deutsche Presse Agentur reporter, as quoted in Former Governor of Spandau Prison Dies in Berlin, in Expatia, 7th of November, 2005. Hess was murdered by the Jews to tie up loose ends and remove anyone who might still be alive to tell the truth. Hitler also forbade the use of chemical weapons and did not allow the creation of nuclear weapons, as he was disgusted and aghast at such a thing. Hitler was a combat soldier at the front, highly decorated for bravery for the entire Great War, and knew firsthand what the creator of gas weapons was a Jewish chemist, created weapons were like. He, like millions of men, experienced being wounded by such weapons. The creators of atomic weapons were all Jews. Below is a partial list of Jews who were directly involved in the Manhattan Project. There were many more Jews involved at all levels of researching, constructing, and advocating the use of the atomic bomb than can be listed here. J. Robert Oppenheimer, American Jew, Scientific Director, Project Y. Frank Oppenheimer, American Jew, brother of and assistant to J. Robert Oppenheimer. Albert Einstein, German-born Jew, consultant to the project. Niels Bohr, Danish-born Jew, consultant to the project. Leo Szilard, Hungarian-born Jew, group leader, metallurgical laboratory. Nicholas Kürti, Hungarian-born Jew, worked with Franz Eugene Simon, German-born Jew, and developed a method of separating uranium-235 from raw uranium ore. David Bohm, American Jew, performed theoretical calculations for the colutrons at the Y-12 facility in Oak Ridge used to electromagnetically enrich uranium for use in the bomb dropped on Hiroshima in 1945. Rudolf Peierls, German-born Jew, British mission. Felix Bloch, Swiss-born Jew, worked under Hans Albrecht Bethe performing nuclear fission research. Eugene Paul Wigner, Hungarian-born Jew, group leader, metallurgical laboratory. James Chadwick, British-born Jew, chief British mission. James Frank, German-born Jew, director, chemistry group. Otto Frisch, German-born Jew, British mission. Edward Teller, Hungarian-born Jew, thermonuclear research. Emilio Gino Segre, Italian-born Jew, group leader. Hans Albrecht Bethe, German-born Jew, chief theoretical division. Klaus Fuchs, German-born Jew, theoretical division, communist spy. Richard Phillips Feynman, American Jew, group leader, theoretical division. Morris Kolodny, American Jew, manager, DP site. Louis Rosen, American Jew, the father of the Los Alamos Neutron Science Center. Louis Slotin, Canadian-born Jew, critical testing resulted in his accidental death. Jacob Besser, American Jew, weapons firing and fusing. Theodore Alvin Hall, American Jew, youngest scientist at Los Alamos. Samuel T. Cohen, American Jew, worked in the efficiency group. Samuel Goudsmit, Danish-born Jew, scientific head of the Alsos mission. George Plaszek, Moravian-born Jew, British mission. Eugene Rabinowitch, Russian-born Jew, metallurgical laboratory. Joseph Rotblat, Polish-born Jew, worked with James Chadwick, communist spy. Grigory Bright, Russian-born Jew, predecessor of J. Robert Oppenheimer. David Greenglass, American Jew, Manhattan Project infiltration, communist spy. George Abramovich Koval, American Jew, special engineer detachment, communist spy. Victor Weisskopf, Austrian-born Jew, theoretical division. Alvin Martin Weinberg, American Jew, theoretical physics under Eugene Paul Wigner. Isidor Isaac Rabi, Polish-born Jew, consultant to the project. Stan Frankel, American Jew, theoretical division. Enrico Fermi, Italian-born Gentile, was married to a Jewess, group leader, theoretical division. The first atomic bomb was designed and constructed in Los Alamos, New Mexico. The top secret code name given to this working was the Manhattan Project. The reason for the name was that Bernard Baruch, a Jew, lived in Manhattan, New York, as did many of the other top officials. The chief scientist of the Los Alamos Laboratory from 1943 to 1945 was J. Robert Oppenheimer, another prominent Jew. Oppenheimer's brother Frank, a card-carrying communist, was also a leading atomic scientist working at Los Alamos. Japan was already going to surrender to the Allies, so there was no need to use atomic weapons on them. It was Talmudic hatred for Gentiles and nothing more. It was Jewish-dominated politicking in America that had forced Japan into war on purpose in the first place by placing embargoes on Japan that would have left Japan impoverished and starving. The Jews committed a real Holocaust on Japan because they also wanted to test their new atomic weapons on a real Goyim population. The reason America entered into the war was by that time the Jewish elite were in control of its vital networks and did everything to force America into the war. Under Crypto-Jew Roosevelt, of Dutch Jewish ancestry, and his staff, which reads like a synagogue list, Roosevelt and a telegram to the French Premier Reynaud on the 15th of June 1940 promised to double American aid to France on the condition it continue the war against Germany. In December of 1939, an American warship, the Tuscaloosa, maneuvered a German passenger vessel, the Columbus, into the hands of the British Navy while in a security zone of which was scuttled by the Germans. In January of 1940, the American warship Triton, in violation of international law, reported the movements of the German merchant ships Arauca, La Plata, and Wangoy to enemy naval forces. On the 27th of June 1940, Roosevelt announced a limitation on the free movement of foreign merchant access vessels in American ports, which is also in violation of international law. In November of the same year, Roosevelt allowed for American warships to chase the German merchant ships Frigia, Idrewald, and Rhine, which resulted in all three ships scuttling themselves to avoid capture. This and its identical acts were all acts of aggression against Germany, helping enemy nations to attack their ships and citizens. Roosevelt also sent the OSS chief Colonel Donovan to incite uprisings against Germany and Italy in Sofia and Belgrade. Roosevelt then permitted American citizens to join the RAF while openly training RAF personnel in America. In September of 1940, Roosevelt transferred 50 American destroyers to the British Navy. In March of 1941, Roosevelt imposed the Lend-Lease Act on America, which meant as president he could officially furnish as much aid as he wanted to at the taxpayers' expense that he felt it was in America's interest to defend, such as the Soviet Union. This aid was the major reason the Red Beast was able to survive in the early part of the Eastern War. Roosevelt had also worked to bring other nations from making peace or having any peaceful relations with Germany, using economic policy as a weapon against them. In 1940, he froze all Norwegian and Danish assets, despite the fact that Germany had not, nor had the plan, the loot, or dictate financial policy to either nation. Later, Belgian assets in America were also frozen. Note, frozen equals stolen. With Roosevelt recognizing nonsense panels of exiles from such nations as governments in exile, an act of blatant hostility towards Axis Europe. Roosevelt's actions from even before the war showed he incited warfare on nearly every level against the National Socialist nation in Europe. On the 13th of April of 1941, American ships were permitted to pass freely through the Red Sea to supply British armies fighting in the Middle East. In March of the same year, the Americans began to openly confiscate all the German ships they could while treating German citizens once again in violation of international law like prisoners. In another indictment, two German officers that escaped from Canadian custody and fled to America in violation of international law were returned chained back to Canada, which was at war with Germany. At the same time, American naval ships began to increase patrols in the Western Atlantic, reporting any observations to the British Navy on Axis ships, military or civilian, while repairing British naval ships in U.S. ports. In May, Norwegian vessels working for the British were openly armed and repaired in American ports in violation of international law. In June, American troops arrived in Greenland to begin building military air bases. Then on the 9th of the same month was a report from the British that Roosevelt had ordered an American warship to openly attack a German submarine off of Greenland. Then German assets, in violation of international law in the same month in America, were officially frozen. Around the same time, Roosevelt ordered the recall of the German consuls and called for the closing of the German press agency, Transocean, the German Library of Information in New York, as well as the German National Rail Office, Reichsbahn. In July of 1941, American armed forces under Roosevelt's orders occupied Greenland, which is in an area of German military operations, in an attempt to force Germany into a war with America and to influence the outcome of German U-boat operations against Germany's favor. In addition to this, on the 10th of July of 1941, American Navy Secretary Frank Knox ordered that all American warships were officially ordered to fire on all Axis vessels. That was another act of aggression, an indirect declaration of open war against Germany by the American government. In September of that year, the U.S. warship Greer joined British warships in attacking German submarines in the Atlantic soon after a German submarine identified American warships acting as open military escorts for British convoys. Roosevelt openly admitted in a speech given on the 11th of September 1941 that he had personally given the order for American warships to fire on all Axis vessels and had repeatedly given this order. On the 29th of the same month, American warship patrols attacked a German submarine off the coast of Greenland. On the 17th of October, the American warship Kearney, acting on this order, attacked another German submarine. In November of the same year, American warships, in violation of international law, captured the German ship Odenwald, took it to an American port, and imprisoned the crew. The American government and its Jewish controllers had privately declared war on Germany for years. The same methods were used against Japan to force them into a war as well. It is no secret the U.S. government knew about Pearl Harbor for months in advance and did nothing, as they wanted an official reason to do what they had been doing all along. Poland and more Jewish hate. The same Jews placed international embargoes on Germany during the 1930s. See, Judea declares war on Germany, a freedman. Confessions would have left one-third of the German people in starvation. Even then, Germany did not go to war until Hitler had no choice but to invade Poland to stop the genocide of the ethnic German populace. Around 20,000 to 50,000 innocent people were murdered by Jewish-created and backed Haitian-style murder squads, and that was after Hitler had warned Poland to stop and appealed to the League of Nations, the UN of the day, to do something. The Bromberg massacre was the final straw. Thousands of Germans were massacred, literally Rwandan-style. Hitler's invasion of Poland was to end the genocide of thousands of innocent people by force, as appeals to reason and compassion had failed. Churchill, the Jewish puppet whose mother was a Jewess, as even reported by the Jerusalem Post from 1936, was being funded by a group of mainly Jewish bankers, former politicians, and industrialists called the Focus Group, and was given a huge amount of money by the Jewish chairman of the Shell Company in July of that year. He made a secret deal with the Polish government. They were to force Germany into attacking by any means, and then England and France could declare war and appear to be the morally righteous side. This was to open a two-front war between Poland in the east and France and England in the west, which was to defeat Germany, as the Polish army alone outnumbered the German one. Key areas of Polish society had no doubt been subverted by Jewry as well by this point. Lord Nathan Rothschild was the most powerful man in Britain, British Prime Minister Lloyd George.